If you have your Bible tonight, be finding the book of Luke, chapter number 23. The book of Luke, chapter number 23. We'll begin reading down in verse number 32. I had about four messages I could have done tonight, and I pray that this is the right one. This is one God has laid on my heart to give tonight. We'll begin reading in Luke, chapter number 23, and beginning in verse number 32. It says this: "And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which was called Calvary." That word Calvary was only found that one place in the Bible tonight. If you read your Bible, that word is only found one time. Let me tell you, one time is enough. You take one trip to Calvary, that'll be enough to get the job done. You won't have to go back. Jesus will never have to die again. He's done it all. He's died for your sin. He died for my sin. He's done it all in that place called Calvary. I praise Him tonight for Calvary. It said there they crucified Him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted His raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided Him, saying, "He saved others, let Him save Himself, if He be Christ, the chosen of God." And the soldiers also mocked Him, coming to Him and offering Him vinegar, and saying, "If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself." And a superscription also was written over Him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew: "This is the King of the Jews." Verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on Him, saying, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art also in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Let us pray. Father, I need your help tonight. Lord, I come needing you, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you guard my mouth. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you fill me with the Holy Ghost, Lord. Lord, let me speak the truth of the Word of God, Lord. I know that I don't know the needs of everyone here tonight, Lord, but I'm glad you do, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you make preaching easy. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you expound on the Word of God tonight, Lord. I thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we find Jesus in the last part of His life here on earth. We find Him going to the cross. We find Jesus has already done all the miracles that He's going to do. He's done all the manifestations that He's going to do up until this point. We find Him here in the last stages of His life. We find with Him also two other, the Bible calls them malefactors. You say, what does that term mean? That means they were criminals. And we find Jesus has come to the place of Calvary. They've mounted His cross, and they put on His right hand one of the malefactors, and they put on the other side another malefactor, and they put Jesus right in the middle. I want to preach on this thought tonight: the messages of three dying men. The messages of three dying men. You see, I found it very important in my life when somebody's on their deathbed that I would listen to what they had to say. You see, here we find three men at the end of their life, and each one of them is going to preach their own message. Each one of these men, you'll find a thief on the right that'll preach his message. You'll find that thief on the left, and he'll preach his message. Let me tell you this, Jesus had already preached His message, but He did give a message there on the cross. I want to look in this very thought tonight on the messages of the three dying men. And look down in verse number 39. I want us to look at the first man. It says, "And one of the malefactors which railed on Him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." I want to say the first thief, you know what he preached his message on? He preached a message of doubt. He said, "If thou be the Christ. You know, there's a lot of people today that I hear them preaching that same message, if thou be. You see, they don't want anything to do with God. They don't believe who He really is. See, Jesus is God Himself. Jesus was God manifested in the flesh, come to the earth. God with us. Jesus. This thief said, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." He only wanted Jesus for what he could get out of Him. We find a lot of people today that find themselves in that same situation, they serve Christ for only what they can get out of Him. This thief said, if thou be the Christ. I want to say, first of all, he railed on Him. You say, what does that word railed mean? That means that word, if you look it up in the Greek, it means blasphemo. He blasphemed. You know what will send you to hell tonight? Unbelief. And if you go to hell tonight, you'll go as an intruder. God never intended hell to be for anyone but the devil and his angels. And if you go tonight, you'll go on your own free will, because all you have to do is believe on the cross, believe in Christ. You'll see a message of doubt. He railed on him. That word rail means harsh terms. And I thought about this as a lot of times I was a little kid growing up. It'd be as a son talking back to his parents. You see, my mom and daddy, how many of you liked to clean your room when you was little? Your mom would come in there on Saturday morning about 6 o'clock and say, it's time for you to clean your room. You say, Mom, I want to sleep till about 10 and the cartoons is on. Anybody ever had that happen? And there'd be thoughts run through my head and said, I wish he'd go on. And I'd say stuff that I probably didn't even mean. You know, I would rail on my mother because of stuff. You know what my mother did? She loved me. You know what Christ did? He loved them. No matter what they said, no matter what they were going to do, no matter what they was putting on him there, Christ still loved them. He railed on them. Not only did he rail on them, he reasoned. You say, what do you mean by reason? If thou be the Christ. You see, faith, reason will always defeat faith. If you sit there tonight and you say, and you try to reason these things out, you know what will happen, and you'll be defeated. See, reason always defeats faith. Let me tell you what faith does. It always defeats reason. See, God's put me in this thing, and let me tell you what. There are some things in this thing I've discovered I cannot figure out. And I'm glad I can't, because if I had it all figured out tonight, I'd probably be up underneath the carpet scared as I don't even know what to do. Because God, I'm glad He's in control. He has all the answers. We prayed tonight, and I began to thinking about this. You know what this book's got? It's got every answer for everybody in here tonight. And this book's got, it can meet every need. Let me tell you what, Christ was there on the cross. He had that one thief on the right hand, one thief on the left hand, and He had all the answers. And all that thief had to do is say, I believe. But you know what he did? He preached a message of doubt, because he began to reason within his heart. Not only did he reason, and not only did he rail against the Savior, let me tell you what else he did. He rejected him. You see, you have to accept Christ. You see, it says in the book of John, he said he came to his own, and his own received him not. Talking about his own people, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You see, if you're going to heaven tonight, you won't go just because you come to church here. You won't go because you taught Sunday school. You won't go because you're a deacon. You won't even go because you say you're a preacher. You know what you have to do? You have to believe in Christ. All that thief had to do, no doubt, when they placed those crosses there, three crosses, that thief could almost reach out and touch Jesus himself. But he did not. He would not believe on him. I thought about Judas Iscariot a lot in my life. And I remember, every time I read about Judas Iscariot, I always remember this. Judas was out there. Jesus was praying in the garden. He said, let this bitter cup pass from me, but not my will, nevertheless thy will be done. And he was out there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he began to pray. And the Bible said he prayed in agony, and it was he sweat great drops of blood down his face. And I remember this. He said, Judas came up to him, and how did he betray Jesus? He betrayed him with a kiss, didn't he? And when he kissed the face of Jesus, he was so close to that blood that it run down his face. He probably had the blood of Jesus on his lips, no doubt about it. But it's not enough to have the blood next to us or close to us. You know what we have to do? We have to be under the blood tonight. You say, how do you do that? You have to believe in Christ. You say, this thief, he preached a message of doubt. He would not believe in the very Christ that come to save him. He preached a message of doubt. There was two other Bible characters that I remember also. Y'all remember of a guy named Felix? Paul had preached to him and said, Felix, will you believe? He said, no, when I have a more convenient season. Somebody in here tonight may be looking for a more convenient season. You see, when I was 19 years old, I said, Lord, if you just give me tomorrow, I'll get saved. I remember a man, I was walking into Walmart one night, me and my friend, and this is what he asked me. He said, if you were to die tonight, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? That's what he asked me. And for a month, I'm talking about a solid month, I lay in the bed at night and I could see that man. And it was as, and he didn't do this, but it was as if he took his finger and just did just like this on me for a solid month. You say, why do you say that? See, you can be here and be in church every time the door is open and not make it to heaven. You see, this thief could almost reach out and touch Jesus himself, but he did not make it in because he would not believe. Not only do you see Felix, you'll see a man named Agrippa. Paul went before Agrippa, and he said this. He said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You know what those two men did? They fled off the pages of the Bible. And I don't know, it doesn't say it in the Bible that they ever got saved. I believe they went to hell because they almost were persuaded. You see, this thief was preaching a message of doubt. He said, if thou be the Christ, if thou, you could save us and save thyself. You see, Jesus did not go to the cross to get off the cross. You see, he knew what was going to happen there that day. His Father had already let him in that he was going to die for the sins of the world. They preached a message of doubt. The cross will always separate. It'll either drive a man to Christ or it'll drive a man from Christ. I've seen men that was coming to church and God would deal with them time and time again. I'll never forget this as long as I live. My brother was a preacher and he had passed away. And I had a church that called me and they said, will you come speak at a youth meeting? And I'd been teaching Sunday school and I said, I sure will. And God hadn't called me to preach. I remember getting up and they combined the two churches there. They combined the Baptist church and the Methodist church. And I began to preach. And I remember what I preached on. I remember a man. I could still see him in my mind today. And I preached. I said, if you don't get saved, you'll go to hell. And I sat there and I watched that man tremble. And he had overalls on. And he sat there and he trembled that whole time. And he held on to that pew. You know what? He never did make a step. You know what he was preaching? He was preaching a message of doubt. You see, God wants us to be saved. This thief preached a message of doubt. But secondly, that's one of the messages. The message of three dying men. We see the message of doubt. Let me say this. The second thief, you know what he preached? He preached a message of decision. You see, this thing to serve Christ is always a decision. You see, you won't come to heaven just because you're here tonight. It'll be a decision. You decided to come. I remember when I told you the story how I laid in the bed a month and I could see that man as if he was pointing at me. And I remember my brother, he'd come preach to us every Tuesday night. I've told you all the story before. We had a barn and in that barn we had a pool table. And we'd have all these, it wasn't unusual to come by my house every weekday and see 20 or 30 cars out there because they was all wanting to shoot pool. My brother, he'd get up on Tuesday night. And he preached to them before they'd ever shoot a game of pool. And if one of them cussed, you say, man, they cussed? If one of them cussed, you know what he'd do? He'd make them pay a dollar. If one of them wanted to smoke a cigarette in our yard, you know what he'd do? He'd make them pay a dollar. And he collected that money, dollar at a time. And he'd take that money and he'd put it in an offering plate at the church. But he'd get to preach to them. And I can remember my brother preaching to me. And that man coming up to him, he thought I was saved because my brother was a preacher. And you know, if somebody in your family is a preacher, everybody in your family is saved because you got a preacher in the family. Jesus assumed I was saved. He was actually talking to my friend, but God, I'm talking about God, is as he took that finger and he kept poking at me. And he's saying, it's you. And it's you. And I got saved April 8, 1998. But let me tell you what it was. It was a decision. You see, I could have rejected Christ as this man that preached the message of doubt. And I could have turned away from Christ. Let me tell you this, if God's dealing with somebody to be saved, don't take that lightly. You see, I'd do anything, knowing what I know now, and I didn't know it back then, I'd do anything to be saved tonight. It didn't matter what pride I had, it didn't matter what it even took to do, I'd be saved. You see, God's put that down deep in my heart, a message of decision. Let me say, first of all, you'll notice his condition. Look down in verse number 40. It said, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, talking about he rebuked the other thief, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man had done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He preached a message of decision. Let me tell you, first of all, he recognized his condition. He recognized he was lost. You see, our problem in our churches today, people don't get lost. You see, we want to bring them to Christ. We want to bring them without any repentance. Let me tell you what William Booth said. How many of y'all know who William Booth is? He was the founder of the Salvation Army. This is what he said back in the early 1900s. This is what he said. I got it written down somewhere. He said this. He said, "The chief dangers that confront the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, politics without God, and heaven without hell." You see, that's where we find ourselves tonight. As we find ourselves in the very thing that he said. See, this guy, he recognized his condition. He recognized that he was a sinner. He recognized his only need was for God. You know what he did? He said, "Lord, let me tell you what, if you're going to get somebody's attention, you know what he goes by? If you want to get Jesus' attention, you know what he goes by? He goes by Lord." He said, "Remember, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom." Let me tell you what, he got Jesus' attention. You know what Jesus said? He said, "I'll do that." He said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." It was a message of decision. It was a message of, he recognized his condition. Not only that, you'll see he come under condemnation. Let me tell you what the law was giving us to for. I've been doing a study in the book of Exodus. There in Exodus chapter 20 where Moses got the law from God up on Mount Sinai. I've been doing a study on that. You know what the law was? See, the law could never get you saved. Well, let me tell you what it was. Paul said it like this in the book of Galatians. He said it was our schoolmaster. You know what that law did? It confronted us every day and said, "You're wrong." It rebuked you. It said, "Hey, you're doing things wrong." You see, we couldn't keep the law. Nobody in this building can keep the law. That's why we needed a Christ. We needed Christ to save us because of the law. A message of decision. He came up under condemnation. Not only that, he got convicted. You see, just as William Booth said, today we want forgiveness without repentance, and we want politics without God, and we want Christianity without Christ. Let me tell you what this guy did. He said he had conviction. You know when that guy, when he said those words to me, and each time I'd lay in my bed at night, and that right there would happen to me, and it was like he was pointing right at me. You know what it was? It was conviction. All those messages every preacher preached to me in my life, I began to remember. And some of you still living in that condemnation. Some of you still living in that conviction because you won't decide to step out and get saved. Let me tell you what, it was the best day of my life. I remember this. I got saved at my brother's funeral, April 8, 1998. Hadn't slept in 3 days. I could still see that man doing just like this. I had been in a lot of funerals in my life. I've never been in a funeral where they gave an invitation. They gave one at my brother's funeral. Sitting right there where Brother Tim was. I said, "I serve you." He said, "If you want to be saved," the preacher gave an invitation. All I knew what to do was say, "Lord, I'll serve you. I'll save me, Lord, save me." And I called out to him there. Let me tell you what, it was a decision. I stand here tonight because of that decision. Some of you here tonight, you may not have made that decision, but you can do it. And God wants you to do it. A message of decision. The last message I want you to see tonight, the message of three dying men. You not only see a message of doubt, you'll see a message of decision, but you'll see a message of deliverance. You see, Jesus always preached deliverance. No matter where he went, there was a way out. You see, Jesus didn't care if you was rich or poor. You see, he didn't care if you didn't have any money in your pocket, if you had two nickels in your pocket to rub together. He didn't care. He didn't care about the color of your skin. He didn't care if you had full of hair or you was bald. He didn't care anything about that. He didn't care what race you was from, what nationality you was from. All he knew is you need to be saved and follow him. Take up thy cross and follow him. A message of deliverance. He preached that to them. You say, how did he preach it? He said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And no doubt, as Jesus hung on that cross, those boys, boy on the right hand, boy on the left hand, they almost touched him. One decided to follow Christ. Did Jesus refuse him? I think not. No, not one is what the song says. Thank God he doesn't refuse any. You'll see the message of deliverance. I want to say, first of all, you'll see the prophecy of the Savior. You see, He was always the one to come. You think about every Old Testament prophet that got up and preached. You think about old Daniel, he get up and preach the coming of the Lord. He was looking out toward Christ. Abraham, when he saw that ram coming up on the other side of old Mount Moriah, he said, there's the Christ. Remember over in Exodus chapter number 12, the old Passover was coming, and the old death angel, and they said, if you strike that blood on the doorpost of your house, I'll pass over you. That was Jesus Himself. I wrote this down. He was Abel's sacrifice. He was Noah's ark. He was Abraham's ram. He was Joseph's forgiveness. He was a Passover lamb. He was manna from heaven. He was water from the rock. He was the brazen serpent. He was a tabernacle. He was a high priest. He was Joshua's captain. He was Ruth's Boaz. He was Job's redeemer. He was David's shepherd in the valley. He was Joel's hope to his people. He was Jonah's well. He was Malachi's son of righteousness. You see, he was always one to come. Let me tell you what. One day he stepped out. And he came to this earth, born of a virgin, down in Bethlehem's stable. And old John the Baptist, one day announced his coming. He said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I'm glad there was a man named Jesus. And you know what he preached? He preached a message of deliverance. And he got an old 19-year-old boy, almost 20-year-old boy, to get into the kingdom of heaven one day. And he's opened this thing not only up to me, but he's opened it up to every man, woman, boy, and girl that ever step on the face of the earth. And you can look at anybody tonight, and you can say, God loves you. And you'll be telling the honest truth, the gospel's truth, saying He loves you. And not only that, you can say He died for you. And you'll be telling the truth to every man, woman, boy, and girl, saying God died for you, and you have a way out because of that deliverance tonight. The prophecy of the Savior. Not only that, I want to say there was a pain of the Savior. You see, it says this in Isaiah chapter number 53. It said, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to our own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he was made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Here it is. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. Let me tell you this, they may have put Jesus, and when they put him there on that cross, and they nailed him between those two thieves, the Bible said that he was numbered with the transgressors. You see, they counted him just like one of those thieves himself. And he was numbered with them. In Isaiah chapter number 52, they said his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Talking about his visage, talking about his face, you couldn't even recognize who he was. And then talking about his form or his body, they had beat him so bad that you couldn't even recognize that he was a man. But yet he was still there as a message of deliverance. You know what he did? You'll see not only the prophecy of the Savior, the pain of the Savior. I want to say the prayers of the Savior. You know what he cried out from that cross? It's been hard for any of us to cry this. But this is what he said. See if you recognize it. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The prayers of the Savior. Let me tell you what he's doing tonight. He's still saying that same prayer. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He prayed that for me. All my life, I didn't know that there was a man that could love me as much as Jesus did. He was preaching a message of deliverance. Not only that, a message, the prayer of the Savior. I want to close with this. There's a passage of Scripture found in John chapter number 5 about a man at the pool of Bethesda. Y'all know the story. Y'all been in Sunday school where, you know, when the trouble of the water, the next one in the pool would get healed of the disease, and there was a man there who couldn't make it to the pool. Let me tell you what, we serve a God. I'm glad He troubles our waters and gets us where we need to be. But let me tell you what, this gospel, it's a whosoever gospel. It's a whatsoever gospel. But let me tell you what it's not. It's not a whensoever gospel. You see, you won't get saved when you want to. You see, there always has to be a troubling. You see, in our churches today, we forget about the troubling of the waters. You see, God troubled me. I remember it as if it was yesterday. God reaching through that man, just that little statement, walking in Walmart. He didn't know what he was saying to me in my heart. But it was as if God Himself had reached His hand right there on top of me and said, "It's you. It's you." A message of deliverance. I want to say this also. You see that thief, when he got called out of this, you know what he said? He didn't have time to get down and get baptized. He didn't have time to teach a Sunday school class. He didn't even get down on one knee to pray. I know that may shake a lot of y'all up. He didn't even get down on one knee. He couldn't. All he said was this: "Remember me. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." You want to get in the kingdom tonight? You get his attention. All you say is, "Lord, remember me. Lord, save me." You see, it's not so much in what we do or even what we say. But I'll tell you what it's in. It's in your heart turning toward God and God doing something in your life. I've been studying in John chapter number 9 also about an old boy he was blind. The Bible says in John chapter number 9 and verse number 1, it says, "And Jesus passed by." And that old boy, his parents, they said, "Who sinned? Was it him or his parents? Is why he's blind?" This hit, known down in the story, this is what it says. That boy, it said, "Let that boy speak for himself." This is what he said. He said, "All I know is whereas I was blind, but now I see." God opened my eyes up April 8, 1998. Nobody's ever done that for me. You say, "Was you a drunk?" I had never hardly been drunk in my life. I could probably count it on one hand how many times I've taken alcohol in my life. I never did smoke a cigarette. But let me tell you what God did. He made me the chief of sinners. And let me tell you what, it's not, you may be here tonight and say, "I've went too far." I remember witnessing to a man in Little Rock, Arkansas one time. He said, "God won't save me. I've done too much." Let me tell you what, he didn't die for one sin. He didn't die for two sins. Let me tell you what he did. He took all the sins of the whole world upon that cross. And you know what he did? He was there in the middle. He preached the message of deliverance. If you're going to come to him tonight, let me tell you what, it don't matter what you've done. It don't matter how long you've been doing it. You see, Jesus has a message of deliverance. I stand here tonight because of that. I want to say this in closing down. One died the death of a doubting sinner and he went to hell. One died the death of a deciding saint, and he went to heaven. And one died the death of a delivering Savior, and he's the host of all this world. He's the host of heaven tonight. You may be here tonight, you've never been saved. Don't let this thing get by you. God gave me this message for a reason. Let me tell you this, don't let it get by you. So you may not have tomorrow. A lot of times we think we do. We think we got another day. We think we got another hour. Let me say what, there's been people that's been in coffins this big. There's been some in that big. And there's been some in 6 foot long. But let me tell you what, you know not the day. You see, the judgment of the Lord is at hand. Now is the accepted time to be saved. Now is the accepted time. I'm going to turn it over to Brother Mike tonight.